Good morning, Southeast Ohio. It's a Wednesday, folks. The 29th day, right? I think so, of November. And we got a special edition today. We're going to get up to date on a couple things in the city of Athens. Andy Stone's our guest. He is the Service Safety Director for the city. And the topic we really want to learn about is the Armory. Mercy, what a big project that is, and really nearing getting underway. They've been doing some on it all along, but the big changes are yet to occur. As I said, 22 degrees here on Columbus Road at the moment, and they say it's going to top out at 44. Andy Stone, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
Welcome. And,
Thank you.
You know, it's been a while since you've been on the show. Let's refresh the memory of our listeners. How'd you get involved with Athens?
Yeah, that's a funny story. You know, I left the active component of the Army back in late summer, early fall of 2003, and came back to Ohio. And I joined the Ohio National Guard, and I looked for a job in Southeast Ohio because I have a family farm in Nelsonville, and just so happened to get a shot at working here at the city, given to me by Rick Abel and Wayne Key, who were mayor and service safety director at the time, and it's been about 20 years, kind of been here ever since in a couple different capacities.
I was with Rick last night. And this, see here, 20 years, okay, I guess that'd be a little bit after my time on city council and stuff like that, but, you know, I'm just nuts about Athens. You know, I moved here from Honolulu, Hawaii, raised up in Worthington, but I tell you, Athens has just grabbed me in every way, and I love it, and, you know, I hear of other people that have similar stories.
It does that to people. You know, my wife works for the university and talks with alumni regularly and around the country. And the way that people kind of tear up when they talk about wanting to get back to Athens and come and visit and see it again and if they could only live here.
Mm.
So it really is a special place.
Well, let's see, Andy, the title is Service Safety Director. Now, let's see here. When I think back over the years, Jim, help me with some of the former Service Safety Director.
Deardorff.
Jim Deardorff, thank you. And name a few others, if you don't mind.
Well, Wayne Key, yes. Obviously, and you know, during my time, and Ray Hazlett and Paula Huron Mosley and Ron Chapman, I think that's the majority of the ones that I know off the top of my head. I think there may have been a few others.
Yeah, and you know, so you have a mayor,
right?
And the role of the Service Safety Director, let's describe that a bit.
Sure. So Athens is a statutory city. You know, in Ohio, a city can be one of two things. It can be a charter city or it can be a statutory city. And a charter city is exactly what it sounds. It's a city that has a charter which describes the form of government that the city has. If the city doesn't have a charter, the form of government that the city has is specified in the Ohio Revised Code. That's called a statutory city, and that's what Athens is. So, you know, a statutory city
Let me just ask.
Sure.
Now, you know, if you took all the cities in the state, what percentage would you say are statutory cities?
It's rather low. I'd say, you know, because of Ohio being a home rule state, you know, over the decades, many cities have adopted charters.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of cases, the charters are very similar to the structure that are established in a statutory city. But, you know, they can do different things when they have a charter. For instance, they could have council members that don't have wards that are all at large. They can choose whether to have a city manager or a strong mayor form of government. Statutory city has a strong mayor form of government, which means that the mayor Basically runs the administration, is a full-time elected official, has veto power over legislation. And so in a statutory city, there is, by law, a director of public safety and a director of public service. And the ORC allows those two positions to be combined in one person that functionally serves as the right hand of the mayor in running the city.
All right. Well, let's see. The city of Athens, its history goes back to
1797.
How about that?
Right. Right.
And it's been a statutory city.
Right. I want to
say from day one, eh?
Well, certainly it was a village for however long. You know, the great book, Athens, the Village Years, gives you a great perspective into Athens in its first about 125 years up until the time that it became a city. That is to say, it went over 5,000 people in the early 1920s, I think. Ever since it's been a city, it's been a statutory city, for sure.
All right. Well, during your time, what are some projects that you've got 20 or so years in with the city? No, I'm going to back up before that.
Okay.
Okay. So, what was your military occupation?
Yeah. I still am in the Ohio National Guard and have been for the entirety of the time I've been back in Ohio. But I joined the Army through ROTC at Ohio State, and then went off on active duty for about 5 years. I was an engineer officer.
An
engineer officer.
Engineering,
and,
okay.
And I spent my entire time on active duty as a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne Division. And then after the invasion of Iraq in 2003, when we returned, that's when I left the active component and I came to Ohio and joined the National Guard. And I've been in the National Guard ever since.
Neat. And your unit of the National Guard is headquartered where?
Well, right now,
just curious.
Sure. So right now, I'm the commander of what we call the Special Troops Command, which is a conglomeration of various disparate types of units that do unique things around the state. So inside, and it's headquartered in Columbus, but the units are across the whole state. So it includes the Recruiting and Retention Battalion. So all the recruiters for the National Guard in Ohio, the Regional Training Institute, which does schoolhouse training or doctrinal training, individual training for soldiers, the what we call Fort Ohio, which is all the installations, the training installations, so Camp Perry, which a lot of people are familiar with up on Lake Erie, Camp James A. Garfield up in Ravenna. And then Camp Sherman and Chillicothe are included. The medical detachment, so all the doctors and nurses and behavioral health providers and medics and such that are there in Central Ohio, and then also the Joint Force Headquarters, which is the headquarters for the state, has to have some administrative oversight, and the administrative oversight for them is the Special Troops Command.
So obviously this military experience has been something that I'm going to say you enjoy, but you're very proud of, and you've done well, right?
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
Sure, I'd like to think so. It's been a great ride. I think I have some more to give still. Certainly the dual career is a challenge, right? You know, you're constantly being pulled between the two, and it only works if you've got a supportive civilian employer, and the city of Athens has been a great employer to me. Mayor Patterson's been a great boss in this role as service safety director, been very supportive of my other job in the Ohio Army National Guard.
Excuse me. Service safety director. Man, service safety director. What's left in the city? That isn't covered under is what I meant to say.
Right. The majority of the work that the city does falls under the purview of the service safety director. So the police department, the fire department, code enforcement department, the engineering public works department, the code enforcement department, the arts, parks, and rec department, and then information technology. So there are some functions that are external to the service safety director. For instance, human resources is kept external. The city planners operation is external, and certainly the other elected officials and the city are all standalone entities that the legislature is a co-equal part of the government. The auditor is a separate elected official, the law director is a separate elected official, and such.
Right. Well, it's a key position. I've known that for years, and you've held this role now, what, 20?
Not this role. I've been a couple different jobs.
Okay.
So previously, I was the city engineer and director of public works, and then previous to that, I was the street director, which is a position we don't have any longer. But I've been service safety director since the end of 2018.
Okay. Well, that's what I wanted to really address today was the armory.
Sure.
And I may ask some questions that you don't know the answers to, but we'll do the best we can. When was the armory established?
So construction started in 1914, and then it was occupied and used during the First World War. I think it was actually dedicated in 1917 or so, and troops went off to the First World War out of that. But that's around the time that everything kicked off with it, and then it was used as an armory for the next. Seven decades or so.
The term armory, how would you describe that?
Well, I mean, if you look at the founding of the country, there includes in the Constitution references to the militia, and each state has a militia, that is still the basis for the National Guard today as a portion of the overall military in the country that has a dual role between the state and the federal government. And so, and it speaks to that in several different places in the Constitution and then subsequent U.S. law and then Ohio law as well. But armories were positioned around the country as a place that the militia could muster locally to be able to go through drills and practice and equip soldiers so that if there was a need to defend the community, certainly in the early parts of the nation, that's what ultimately ended up happening. And then in latter years to be able to be ingrained in the community, to be able to build and generate an army from across the country, and then when needed, pull folks together to be able to federalize them and send them off. And then, there's obviously that dual role with the state support where the governor of the state may call up the National Guard for disaster response or civil disturbance or a host of other needs. And certainly the COVID pandemic here recently proved, the value of the National Guard and that all those armories spread across the state, were places that could be based out of in order to provide all the support that we did to local agencies for pandemic support.
The building as we see it today, and folks, we were assuming you know where it's located, but we'll hit you with that right now. If you're driving on Court Street, it's a one-way street the whole way, right? And when you come to the end of it, right in front of you is the Armory Building. Now, would that be Stimson or what's that right there?
In that section, it's Carpenter.
Carpenter Street. Right. So the intersection of Carpenter and Court Street.
Right.
The building, 1914, first built. Has it had additions along the way, or is the building that stands today the original building?
It's the original building. There have been some modifications on the inside, through the years on a couple different sections of it. By and large, I mean, if you look at the original plans, the floor plan is pretty much the same.
And, from the outside, it appears to be a very sizable building. excuse me. Can you sort of describe the interior spaces and how large they are and the purposes they've been used for and I guess soon the purposes we hope to use them for?
Right. So the armory ceased to be a National Guard facility in the mid-1980s. And then it sat empty for a few years, and then the city purchased it in 1997, and the city has, just because it is an iconic building in Athens, and the city's kind of provided custodial care of it from 1997 until today, you know, keeping a decent roof on it, keeping it duct pointed, a minimum amount of power in the building so that you can, you know, keep it safe. The interior has got three floors.
Let me just jot something down for myself. So 1980s is when it stopped being an armor.
Right.
Okay, got it. Okay, now I made my note.
Okay.
Now you were talking about the interior.
Right. Three floors. So there's a bottom floor, and then there's a main drill floor, and then there's an upper floor. And that main drill floor is really what we think of if you've ever been in the building. Which is a great big space with a wooden floor and high ceilings that was available for any number of uses, but basically that you could have soldiers gather and conduct drill, stand in formation, you know, listen to instruction or whatever else on the floor. That space has been used for a host of things over the years beyond military use, to include community dances. I understand there used to be Friday night fights, and there are boxing matches, rummage
yes,
sales.
I remember that.
Right. So that's the kind of the most beautiful, in my opinion, part of the building is that great big open space. But then additionally on that floor, there are some pretty large or good size conference rooms there on that floor that overlook Court Street. And then on the third floor, there are three offices that are some premier sites in Athens, and that you look straight up Court Street. And then on that bottom floor that I was talking about, there are a series of originally when they were built, they were called squad rooms, which were, you know, breakout spaces for you know, the subunits of whoever was there. The arms room was down there. The supply room was down there. You know, it's a pretty solid portion of the facility, separated by masonry walls, interior masonry walls, so not just you know, partition walls, but actually big solid walls down there. And that space was, you know, for all the material and supplies and weapons and such that were kept. And
so, you know, when I think of the government building a building, okay, I think, man, they probably do it right the first time.
I would say.
And so in terms of structural concerns or anything like that, it's probably rock solid, so to speak.
Very much rock solid. You know, and like I said, the way that you keep an old building in good condition is by keeping a decent roof on it, and you know, windows in it, so that you don't get the water damage. And the city's done that over the years. But yeah, it absolutely is very, very sturdy.
Well, we're going to talk more about its future here in a moment, but let's take a break.
Okay.
Steve?
Athens High School basketball is back on Mix 97.3 WATH starting December 1st. Join Cedric Granger throughout the season as the Athens Bulldogs fight for a TVC Ohio title. It all starts on Friday, December 1st, when Athens travels to Marietta. Check out the full schedule on our Facebook or X pages. It's Athens Bulldogs boys basketball returning December 1st on Mix 97.3 WATH.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, what brings you to the clinic today?
Oh, the baby's not feeling well. I think she might have a fever.
Well, let's check her temp with the Exergen thermometer. You're right. These Exergen thermometers are very accurate. Reads 101.2.
Oh, gosh. Well, that Exergen thermometer sure is fast and easy to use.
Yes, and many doctors recommend Exergen for home use.
Exergen thermometers, backed by over 100 clinical studies, are available at Walgreens and participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Honey, come here, quick.
What is it?
Shh, check it out. All these highly rated wines are under $20. Total Wine must have made a mistake.
Nope, they always have the lowest prices. Oh, remember that amazing rosé your sister brought over last week? See, it's right here.
Whoa, that's a low price. I mean, whoa, that's a low price.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21.
Weenie Wednesday.
Corn dogs and regular hot dogs, $1.19 each. Open 10:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. Head over to Larry's Doghouse over on West Union Street in Athens.
Southeast Ohio weather.
Temperatures today top out at 43 degrees after we start in the low teens. We'll have partly to mostly sunny skies. Southwest wind about 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wind chill stay in the single digits, 20s, and then eventually the low 30s. Late this afternoon. 25 tonight, 55 tomorrow, and partly cloudy. For 13 News, I'm Brian Hughes.
It's Party Line with Dave Palmer on Mix 97.3 and 970 WATH.
And our guest today, Andy Stone. And when we started the show, it was 22 degrees. Now it's 25. And wow, we'll have to take off our coats, I guess. or turn on the air conditioning, one or the other. All right. Well, let's see. Our topic today is the Armory, the Athens Armory. And let's see. Carpenter and Court Street. That's the intersection. The very end of Court Street in terms of the one-way part. Well, anyway, built in 1914, somewhere in the early 80s, it stopped being a military, stopped being an armory, you might say. The city acquired it a half dozen or so years later, and they've kept it up, but now there's major plans, right?
Right.
And let's see here. Let me see, I lost my place here. Okay, so there's a project in the works. The estimated cost of it is $4.5 million, right?
About, including the soft costs, that is, say, architecture and such.
And where are these funds coming from?
Right. So there's a host of funds that we were able to pull together from a variety of sources. And so the city of Athens was really first in. Mayor Patterson has wanted to see the armory revitalized for a long time. And so, you know, we've kept some funds aside in the city's capital improvement fund and allowed that to build. Additionally, we put some of the city's ARPA proceeds, which was the American Recovery Plan, money that came after the pandemic aside as well. And so that really allowed us to get the design work done and then, you know, really get good hard costs for what the construction was going to be. And so for additional funding, we pulled it from three different sources. The first in was Ohio Capital Bill money. And so, you know, every couple of years, the state legislature will seek appropriations for local projects. And our legislators, Jay Edwards and Frank Hoagland, supported this project, and we got $600,000 in the state capital bill for the revitalization. And expressly, that bill is going to be expended, or that money is going to be expended to allow for the ADA flow through in the building. So an at-grade entrance that will allow for some of those mobility challenged to get in, an elevator that will go to all three floors, ADA bathrooms. And the purpose of that is specifically for what we're calling the Veterans Hall of Honor, which is a component of the building. Beyond that, we got funding through the Appalachian Communities Grant Program, and this is state money that the governor announced a couple years ago, or maybe a year and a half ago, was going to be $500 million set aside for Appalachian, Ohio, and Athens was one of the early round applicants. We applied as a lead applicant with several different communities as sub-applicants for us, doing similar things: Athens, Logan, Somerset, and Coshocton, and we were funded in that first round. And Athens' portion of that was about $17 million. Athens' portion of that is about $2.5 million. And then finally, the last in to basically get us to the last mile was just under $1 million from Jobs Ohio, called a Vibrant Communities Grant. And it's really an investment in a brick-and-mortar facility that is intended to promote jobs and economic development in an area. And so that was the last part, and we've got what we think we need. We're ready to move forward. In fact, there's already some construction going right now.
December 14th, I saw that in some publication. That's an important date for you, right?
Sure. That's going to be the bid opening for the largest contract on the renovation. We are doing some of the contracts separately, like for instance some interior demo in order to prepare for the large contract is going on right now. We already did the windows, so if you've paid attention to the building, you've seen that it's got new windows.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the HVAC as a separate contract because we believe we can kind of tease that out and it be kind of a standalone part of the project. We're going to buy some equipment separately, and then we're going to put solar on the roof separately. But all in all, the rest of all of the renovation will be part of this general contractor contract that the bids open on the 14th of December.
And I also read where everything's supposed to be done within an exact 1 year.
That's our target. Certainly the tenants that are going to occupy the building would love to get in sooner than that, right? So, we had our pre-bid meeting yesterday, and I think we must have had 35 contractors present at the pre-bid meeting there at the Armory walking through yesterday. I don't know that they all were representing different general contractors, but certainly there were quite a few general contractors present and then different subs, to get a look at the building. So we're hopeful to have competitive bids, but one of the things we told them is while December 15th of 2024 is our hard stop, we would love to get some occupancy in fall of 2024 because we really would like to start getting folks in there and using the building for its new uses.
I'm a longtime member of the Athens Rotary Club, but there is a peace park there, what do they call it? Is that the right term?
Well, there's Armory Park and then...
Armory Park.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And recently, sometime in the last 5 or 6 months, the Athens Rotary Club had designed and made a peace pole. And it was set in that setting there. And it's really neat. But there's a lot of other things on display in that area, and I'm sure more to come. So we're calling that the Armory Park?
Right. That was kind of a vision of Mayor Patterson a couple of years ago, in that what was beside the Armory was a part of the parcel that was kind of just a crummy fenced-in gravel parking lot and really didn't have a lot of use and collected trash and everything else. And so the team from the City Landscapers and Arts, Parks, and Recreation Department built that with internal staff. And that really has become a nice uptown green space that folks can use for just to sit during the day or visit, or we've even had some small music acts that have performed there. In that
I think
space.
I drove by the other day and there was a wedding taking place.
Wow. There. I didn't know about that, but that's great.
Kind of cool. And tomorrow we're going to have Sandy Patty on the show. From Passion Works, and they have some things on display up there, if I'm not mistaken. But whatever, it's really cool. So, once it's done, okay, and you've got plumbing, you've got all sorts of things to do and upgrade, and then now it had an elevator, but this it did not.
No.
Oh, I thought there was one, but it needed to be replaced.
No, never been an elevator, and that's one of the challenges with use of that building is there is no at grade entrance in that building. You have to go up or down steps.
Yes.
To get into it right now, and then certainly to move in between floors, you have to go up or down steps. And so, in order to make it a public building, you need to make it ADA. Compliant, and so an elevator and an at-grade entrance is an important feature.
Well, anyway, that's all in the works, and by December 15th of 24, it should all be looking great, right?
We're hopeful.
What's, I'm sure there's been a committee that has tried to make sure that all the different ideas that should surface for it have done so. How long has that group been meeting?
Well, I would say there's a couple different groups. Certainly, our recently deceased city planner was a big part of generating the ideas. Paul Logue, who we all miss tremendously. He was a tireless advocate of the Armory, and he kind of was the catalyst at the front end of this most recent idea, which is really the one that got it off the ground, which is the share work and co-work facility that is going to be inside the building. And really what we think ultimately made it go was the pandemic, interestingly enough, in that the amount of people who didn't commute during the pandemic but still worked really proved that was possible. And so if you're looking for spaces to have a temporary office for a period of time in a region that you otherwise work in a big city far away from here, whether it be Columbus or New York City, and you need an office for some of the time, it showed that kind of business model is viable. And so that time frame was where we pulled together the groups and the ideas. Another thing that we've done is, in order to do this correctly, formed the Athens Community Improvement Corporation, which is a provision that is allowed under the Ohio Revised Code to allow publicly owned property to be migrated to that organization that then it can reuse, dispose of, lease for economic development purposes. And it has a separate board, different than the city council. And so a few months ago, the city council transferred the Armory ownership to the Athens Community Improvement Corporation, and that ultimately is the owner of the building now that's running this project.
For years, I've heard of the Athens County Foundation. And of course, you're a city employee, but you have to work the city and the county organizations work together often. What is the Athens County Foundation?
So the Athens County Foundation is a large local philanthropy, and it's an organization that has an endowment, and that endowment comes from notable folks in Athens County that have given money over the years, and then that endowment is used to make grants for worthy causes in Athens County, both the city and outside the city and in the county. They also run Leadership Athens County, which is now going on, I think, 20 years, or maybe not quite that long, but awful close to it, which is a development program for leaders in the community. That's an annual program. I'm a graduate from back in the 2008 timeframe, and I know it's been going since then. And so they do a number of different things here in the city and the county. The mayor has a seat on the board for them and has helps to select some of those grants recipients when they go and grant the dollars. And they are in need of a permanent home. And that's going to be one of the uses of the building, is a permanent home for the Athens County Foundation. You know, they have a space right now in a local bank, but the trouble is they don't have 24-hour access to that space because they're kind of dependent upon when the bank is open to be able to get in. They also don't have ADA access to their space, and so they would like to have a permanent home. We thought it only fitting that the permanent home of the Athens County Foundation, the largest local philanthropy, be in this iconic building.
with its military background, the armory, I assume there's some sort of historic displays or some things that need to be displayed. I just use that word.
Sure.
And this would incorporate that too, right?
Right. I mentioned briefly that the Veterans Hall of Honor, and this concept is something that the mayor had envisioned early on and helped us get our funding. The idea is that in the public spaces of the building, pretty much as you enter from the new west side entrance, that's going to be that at-grade entrance, there's going to be several different displays. One is going to be about the history of the building and uses of the building. And so, I mean, if you can imagine something along those lines, that will be rather fixed. You know, there's already on the outside a historic marker, an Ohio historic marker, and then this will just kind of build on that. Another component will be a rotating display that'll be curated by the Southeast Ohio History Center. And that will be, you know, any number of pieces of memorabilia and such that folks can take a look at. And that'll will stay fresh because it'll get rotated probably annually. And then we're also going to do an immersive experience. If you're familiar with the Invisible Ground projects in the Uptown area, where you know you go and scan a QR code and then you look at a location through the camera on your phone, a specific app, and you see it the way that it used to be. And with some voiceover and audio, that technology is going to be deployed through the same artist that did the Invisible Ground projects there inside and outside the armory. So as you go through the building, you'll be able to look through that app on your phone and see images of how it used to be in different points. So we're really excited about these different both physical displays as well as this virtual display component.
You know, that app I've not explored before, but it sounds interesting.
Take a look across from the diner in Uptown Athens.
Yes.
There's a Barry Hotel.
Right? Oh yes.
So if you look at that location from across the street, there's a plaque there, and you can scan that and then take a look through the application.
I recently attended a celebration of all of that.
Ah, very good. Yeah.
So I have a little more idea what we're talking about. Paul Logue, I'm sorry, share just a bit of that story.
Sure. Paul was a coworker of ours, the city planner, and he was a graduate of Ohio University for his undergrad, and then he got his planning degree in grad school at Ohio State. And he was hired by my mayor, Paul Weil, back in the mid-2000s, I think maybe late 2000s, to be the city planner, which is a position we never had before. And he subsequently served up until very recently. And he tragically passed away of cancer after a battle. But he, is someone who has done so much for Athens during his time with the city. He was really the person that we all leaned on to think beyond the day-to-day. Because we're constantly in local government dealing with the crisis of the day, right? What it comes across the desk, you know, what is the emergency, what is the immediate complaint from a citizen or complaints or any number of things. And that often doesn't allow us the opportunity to think bigger and think more long term, and ultimately that's what Paul's job was, and that's what he did very, very well. The Athens Armory was a passion of his as well, and the early stages of this project are 100% due to his vision.
Name another couple projects that are on your stove cooking.
Sure. So the big one is the new Athens Fire headquarters. Mm-hmm. If you look at the end of Stimson Avenue, you see that going up. We're thrilled to death about that. You know, the last one was built in 1964, and it's at the end of its life as a fire station. Maybe not end of its life, but certainly as a fire station it is. And so we'd like to think that this new building we're building will be at a minimum 50 years, maybe a 100-year building. And so we really see it as a kind of premier addition to Athens at a critical spot that will allow first responders to get to where they need to as fast as possible in the city. So that's one that's very exciting. The West Union Street project is underway right now, and this is primarily a utility project improving water and sewer underneath the road, but there's also going to be improvements with sidewalks and drainage and such along West Union between Schaefer and the bridge over the Hocking. Included in that project is an access road we call the Herald Avenue Access Road, and that should open here any day now, and that connects West State Street and West Union Street, and that will allow that was built first in order to spur economic development back in that area and then to allow for maintenance of traffic during the utility work on West Union Street. So those are two big ones right now. There's a host of other ones ongoing. We've got some pretty big sewer projects happening on the southwest portion of the city. The Arts, Parks, and Rec Department is always doing great stuff with...
I miss working with them.
Yeah, our recent pickleball courts and tennis courts and such that have gone in, and that's exciting. So next year those will be in full use. Big solar project over on the east side.
If I slow down a little more here, which I guess I'm likely to do, I'm hoping to get involved again with Arts, Parks, and Rec.
Super.
Anyway, let's take a break and we'll do some more.
Daily reports of the stock market's close.
Tune in at 5 o'clock tonight
on WATH to stay informed about your money. The Stock Market Report is brought to you by Goldsberry Wealth Strategies, serving Athens County since 2005. The Goldsberry Wealth Strategies Stock Market Report airs exclusively in Athens County on 970 WATH weekdays
at 5 o'clock,
immediately after our local newscast. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Goldsberry Wealth Strategies is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.
Thinking of buying a home? The Ohio Housing Finance Agency can help. We have programs designed to help make home ownership part of your future. The Ohio Housing Finance Agency's Ohio Heroes, Grants for Grads, and Your Choice Down Payment Assistance programs are all designed to help make purchasing a home affordable. To learn more, visit myohiohome.org. Sponsored by the Ohio Housing Finance Agency, aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Southeast Ohio weather.
Temperatures today top out at 43 degrees after we start in the low teens. We'll have partly to mostly sunny skies. Southwest wind about 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wind chills stay in the single digits, 20s, and then eventually the low 30s late this afternoon. 25 tonight, 55 tomorrow, partly cloudy. For 13 News, I'm Brian Hughes.
Kick off your workday with Party Line. Weekday mornings at 9 a.m. with Dave Palmer on Mix 97.3 and 970 WATH.
Hey, Steve, what's her name? Huh?
Who is the name of the weather person?
The gal that just said, stick around and listen to Dave Palmer.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know.
You caught me on the spot. I don't think we've been introduced yet.
Oh. I'd like to meet her. I like her voice. Anyway, let's see here. 27 degrees now. We've gained another 2 degrees in the last 20 minutes. They say the high today, 44. Our guest today is Andy Stone, who is our city's service safety director. Andy, let's talk about something other than the armory for a moment, and then we'll come back to it. But I hear of people that say they have storm sewer issues, or they have, I don't know, some sort of drainage issues. You know, when you have a really hard storm, things can happen, but just react to that general concept.
Yeah, you know, and that really is what it comes down to, right? A really hard, intense storm, and I would contend we've been having more intense weather recently, where you get as some of my employees would call a toad strangler. Which is the
toad strangler.
Our local vernacular for a very, very heavy rain. Okay. But you have that intense rain all at 1 minute, and those storm lines are not built to handle things that intense. And so you'll have momentary periods of area where stuff is not draining as fast as it's coming down. You know, and then the rain lets up and eventually drains and we manage. But that's one of the challenges we see.
But, you know, I'm wondering about silt and stuff like that that can maybe build up and lessen the efficiency of those drains. I'm sure the city has equipment that is meant to periodically go through those drains. Is that correct?
Sure. So there's a couple different pieces of equipment that the city maintains, both a vac truck, and you've probably seen it go around. It's got a big tank on the back. It's okay. Got a big hose that can suck out material, and that material could be sanitary sewage if there's a clog. It can also do what we call hydroexcavation, where you actually use it to excavate small holes and in lieu of a backhoe. And then there's also a flush truck, and a flush truck has a large high pressure hose on it that you can send through a sewer line to unclog it. And so we use that for both sanitary and storm sewer.
And the way the city's laid out, with we're not flat land here.
Yeah.
Does that create more of a challenge too?
Well, you know, we're all sliding towards the Hocking River slowly. It depends on how fast we get there. But you do have that, and especially in some of the portions of the city that are built in functionally a ravine. You know, Richland Avenue is something that comes to mind on the south side, and that there's a pretty large drainage area that then is channeled into a ravine where the one flat portion of that area is where the roadway is and a lot of those businesses. And so that ends up being a challenge with drainage sometimes. We are doing some work with the Corps of Engineers on looking at that watershed and seeing at ways that can get so some of the most intense flash flooding problems down there can be mitigated.
Well, we asked you to join us to talk about the Armory, and we've learned a great deal about that. Let me ask you, do you have any future projects that are just really exciting? Well, they can be boring, too. But, I mean, things that are really important on your plate.
Well, we're always trying to move Athens forward. And Athens is a progressive city. One of the things that on the hard infrastructure people will see in the next couple of years is we will rehab the Stimson Avenue Bridge over the Hocking River, which is exciting because that really is our last city-owned bridge that we need to do some rehabilitation to, and then our bridges are going to be in great shape in Athens, and that's something that most communities can't claim. We're also going to put in a roundabout at 682 and 56. There's a lot of congestion over there, and we think that's really going to help with both safety and to be able to move more traffic. Beyond that, something else the mayor and I have been looking real hard at in recent times is the ability to build more housing in Athens. You know, when I came to the city, that was not something that local government had to think about, right? Housing just happened. We had to regulate it and go through our development governance process. But, the business case was there to do those developments. And today we're seeing that's just not the case. Developers can't make the numbers work to build houses that are, whether they be townhouses or single-family detached homes that are people can buy and build equity in for a reasonable profit and to be sold at a reasonable price. And so trying to figure out how to get more housing built locally, we're very excited about the Ridges redevelopment and the efforts there as one way. And then we're always looking at ways that we can do either urban infill around the city or portions on the periphery to get more housing built in Athens.
What's something that Athens needs and it doesn't have? Wow. That's a heavy, isn't it?
Yeah. I'd go back to housing. I think we have a shortage at the moment. And I don't know that that's always been the case. But, you're always going to have, we love Ohio University, our largest employer, by a factor of 10. We've been working real hard to make our economy not quite so dependent on Ohio University. But the nature of that institution being here is that you're always going to have a certain amount of the housing that is going to be subject to the demand for rentals for students, temporary housing for rentals. So because of that, that certain amount of the housing stock that is not available for people to buy, live in, and build equity in, we have to figure out how to get more. Beyond that, you know, we want to diversify the economy. I think a great example is right across the street from you here on Columbus Road. If you're watching the new hospital going up, and it's pretty exciting there.
Indeed. The very construction nature is interesting.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
We understand that entire hospital was pre-built in Pennsylvania, where it was manufactured and then taken apart and put on trucks and brought here. So
230 modules.
Right.
And the president of Marietta Memorial and the chief operating officer both were on my show the day after they visited the plant.
How cool.
And it had all been constructed over there.
Right.
It's amazing. We have about a minute and a half left. What do you think's a topic I've failed to bring up?
Well, you know, we're getting into the winter months.
Yes.
You know, I think we pretty much have operating the winter down here in the city of Athens. But I do, you know, always remind residents, particularly new residents, and I know we probably don't have a lot of students listening to the show, but maybe we do. That when they are getting ready to live on their own in the winter, they need to take care of making sure their pipes don't freeze and understanding how to shut off their water in their houses if they have
a snow shovel.
Have a snow shovel and shovel their walks they have a portion of the public right of way in front of their house. So that's our responsibility to one another, that we take care of things like that, and I would encourage folks to do that.
Well, Andy Stone, thanks for coming in. And I tell you what, reach out to us every so often. And excuse me, that was an awful sound. Reach out and join us some more often, won't you?
Sure. Thanks, Dave.
I mentioned earlier, Sandy Patty is going to be in tomorrow as our guest. She is the founder, really, if I'm not mistaken, of what we call Passion Work Studio. Really a cool project. And so that's tomorrow. Anything else there, Steve?
Just a couple of quick announcements to share with our audience. First, I'd like to join you in thanking Andy for sharing all that great information with us. I'm looking forward to seeing the Armory project continue. And actually getting a chance to see what the finished product looks like. But we have another blood drive coming to the area. Athens High School will be hosting a blood drive. This will be taking place on Friday, December 15th from 8 until 2 o'clock. We have some more holiday events that are coming up to the area. Amesville will be hosting a craft show on Saturday, December 9th at the Masonic Lodge on State Route 550. The event will be from 9 until 4 o'clock. The Albany VFW will host Breakfast with Santa on Saturday, December 16th. The event will be held from 8 until 11 o'clock. And finally, the Gloucester Christmas Parade is Saturday, December 16th. Their parade will begin at 5 o'clock, and I'm looking forward to attending that. So that's another Party Line. Join us again tomorrow right here on Mix 97.3 FM and 970 WATH. WATH.